Hello and welcome to the FAST podcast, a place where we aim to break down stigmas around mental health one conversation at a time. I'm G Atkinson and each episode I'll be joined by a special guest. We'll tell stories, ask questions and speak openly about the experiences we've had. We're the FAST movement and together we're fighting against suicidal thoughts. Go for it. We're going to see what happens. So welcome to the FAST podcast. Today I'm joined by the lovely Seb Caddick. We're just going to chat about life, going to chat about, you know, everyday things. And again, still winging it. So whatever happens, happens. We might end up rambling on about dogs and cats and whatnot. So but we're just going to see what happens. So Seb, introduce yourself. Tell us a little bit about you. Where are you in the world at the moment? How did you get into the normal way.
my name's Seb. I'm a musician and a music teacher from Warrington. So, been doing music for about 16-17 years.
Oh my god,
yeah,
a long time.
Never really planned to sort of make anything of it when I was little, but ended up going to uni, doing music, came out of it, sort of. I had to find a job then, didn't I? And I've got a music degree, so what are you going to do but teach? So I taught music for a couple of years, taught guitar, went into schools and did privately and everything. And I've sort of just now gone freelance. So
nice.
Sort of setting up my own private teaching thing and gigging in bars and restaurants and weddings and all that kind of thing.
So it's kind of nice that you've actually done something in uni that's then carried on to what your job is.
Yeah.
A lot of the time it's kind of like, a lot of people are like, oh yeah, I did this degree, but I'm in something completely different now. So it's nice that it's kind of like...
Yeah. Well, I mean, I had a foot in the door anyway, because I was working for this teaching company while I was at uni, so when I was coming back. Just doing cover work for when their teachers weren't in, basically. And then when I left uni, I just needed a job because obviously I was skint because I'm terrible with money still.
Oh, that student debt,
love it. Oh, I don't want to talk about it. Yeah, and then I was just looking for literally any job. At no point did it cross my mind that I could take teaching full time. Okay. I don't really know why, but it just sort of didn't. And I ended up working in a call centre for about 6 months. And I hated it. And I hated every minute of it. It was horrible.
Yeah.
It was... Oh, yeah. Didn't like it at all. And then I just... It's like March 2016, I think. I'd had a particularly bad morning. And I just walked up to my boss and was like, yeah, quit. Sorry. Leaving at the end of the month. And then just went back to teaching and... Started from there, really.
Right, okay, so it was almost like that realisation of, no, this is actually making me really down, I don't want to do this job, and leaving.
Do you know what it was? I've just remembered. It was my birthday.
Okay.
It was my birthday of that year.
Yeah.
And I was in work the next day and spent my whole birthday thinking, oh, I know it's my birthday, but I can't be asked going back to work tomorrow.
Right.
And just, like, worrying about being back in work tomorrow and how much I hated it. And I think the next day, it wasn't a good morning.
Yeah.
That was it.
Right, okay.
That's much happier now, though.
Yeah, honestly. That's good, though. But I feel like it's good that you kind of, like, you made that decision. You said to yourself, you know what, no, like, you recognised I'm not happy and quit. I think it's so kind of, I mean, I'm not really old enough to have worked in a job for 5 years or something, but I feel like you do hear people that are being kind of stuck in the same job and they're not happy for so long. It's like, what's that actually doing to your mind if you're going to work and hating it every day? Like, how do you get out of that rut? And I suppose, you know, once you've got things to pay for and, like, a family to support or whatever, it becomes so much harder. It's, like, nice that you were in a position to be like, right, I can just leave and see what happens.
Well, that was it. I mean, I was living at home and, like, didn't have a car, didn't have bills to pay, really.
Yeah.
The only thing I would pay would be phone bill at the end of every month.
Yeah.
Like, bit of board to my mum and dad. So it wasn't as though I had all these bills to pay and I was like, if I quit my job, what am I going to do?
Yeah.
It was just...
You were in a position where you could.
Yeah. And then I just snapped one day and then I knew I'd have this teaching work at this company to fall back on, so I'd at least have some way of making income.
Yeah.
So are you
living at home at the moment then? Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
How are you finding that?
So it's fine.
Yeah.
It's all right. I don't hate it.
Yeah. That's always a positive.
I would have liked to have moved out by now. Really.
I think it's very hard nowadays, though, isn't it? Like, yeah. It's almost like, you know, if you're renting somewhere and it's a good £400-£500 a month, like, you are just throwing that money away. I think it's so hard.
I think as well, I don't think it... It's probably last year, I was probably just about earning enough to be able to move out.
Yeah.
And that's about the only time, I think, in my life I've been earning enough money to, like, move. Because what I don't want to do is move out, find that I've not got any money.
Yeah.
And then I've got to leave and move back in. Do you know what I mean?
Like, I think that's the thing. It's like once you've kind of gone, that's it then. You don't really want to like move back in again. I think it's hard though, because it's like, have you found that, like, you know, since, well, you, like you've said, you were in a position where you kind of you could quit your job and make that move then, like, but since kind of working for yourself, have you found that because you've been at home, that's kind of been another reason that you've thought, you know what, I'm actually able to make this choice to work for myself and see how it goes?
Yeah, again, it's the same thing, like, because you don't, you know, it's a slow process building it up when you become self-employed.
Yeah.
And I understand that. I've got mates who do it, and, you know, it's taken them a good year to 2 years to, like, you know, make good money out of it.
Yeah.
So it's definitely helped being able to just be at home.
Yeah.
Even though I think my mum doesn't quite understand that, even though I might be in the house, like, for the whole day, I am actually still working.
Yeah.
You know, it's not like I'm just sat there sort of
twiddling your
thumbing through Twitter for 6 hours a day. Like, it's actually still work. But,
I know what you mean. I was self-employed for a little bit, and a lot of my work is kind of like on my laptop, like, you know, if it's graphic design, so I'm sat on my laptop doing stuff. But if I was like sat on my laptop, potentially still in my pajamas at 4 o'clock in the afternoon, that might have happened a few times.
Well, that's the joy of being self-employed. Yeah. That's why you do it.
Don't even have to shower. I'm joking. I would always shower.
Yeah. Just for the record, I'd like to point out that I do shower.
Yeah, me too. But no, it's just like very, like, it's just a different kind of, when you're able to do work from the comfort of your own home and, like, you're kind of like your own boss, it's like, it is nice, isn't it, to just be able to, but like you said, it takes a long time to kind of build up that.
Yeah, I like the freedom of knowing that I can do anything. Do you know what I mean? So it's not like if I was teaching full time.
Yeah.
Like, I'm a music teacher and that's what I do. You know, I teach guitar, or I teach drums, or I teach keyboard, whatever. But now it's like, I can literally do anything.
Yeah.
Like, a couple of weeks ago, I did, like, one of the schools that I used to work at had put on a production of We Will Rock You.
Oh, nice.
And I played guitar for it. Like, so I just had to learn all these Queen songs, and they had a live band, and it was sick, and it was so
cool.
Good. But that's the kind of thing that I want to do more of. Like, that's the exciting thing, is being able to be like, I can do a little bit of this here, I can do like 3 gigs that weekend, and then I've got all these students, and then I can do bits. And
you've not got a full-time job to kind of like restrict you to your time.
Yeah, precisely.
So you just mentioned before about Twitter. You said you're not scrolling through Twitter or whatnot. What kind of social media platforms do you use? Because I'm guessing, like, you almost have to promote yourself as a freelancer, and obviously social media, that's the kind of good side of it, that you can, like, what kind of platforms do you use to, or do you use some platforms to kind of like promote yourself?
So, well, for promotion, Instagram's the biggest thing for musicians at the minute.
Yeah,
it's massive. Like, you get guitar players and drummers and everything who are literally famous because of their Instagram pages.
Yeah.
And that's it. And they'll have 100,000 followers, and then they'll get work based on that just by putting these little 60-second clips up of them playing.
Yeah, that's cool.
So I think you have to be on Instagram these days.
But, these bloody days of social media.
Millennials. I think it is annoying, because if I could do this and not be on Instagram at all,
yeah,
then I probably would.
Right, okay. For what reason do you kind of, would do you just not like it?
I don't like it. I don't like the whole, like, everyone putting up the best version of themselves and pretending that that's what's going on. I don't like that, really. Other, like, Twitter and Facebook and whatever else, Snapchat, I don't know. I don't even use it. But I don't so much mind that, but I think Instagram, there's a real problem with that being like people just going, look at this amazing thing that I did this weekend. Look at this fantastic food that I'm eating.
Yeah.
Look at where I went. Look at what I did 3 years ago.
Yeah.
And it's like, hey, there's a compulsion to think like that is what they do all the time. Like their life is amazing and your life is shit. And sorry, can I swear on this?
Yeah, you can swear all you want.
Good. there's a compulsion to think that their life's really good and your life is shit in comparison.
Yeah.
When that's not really the case, they've just like cherry picked all the good things that have happened and put them out. And I don't think that's good for anyone.
And it's hard because it's like, tell myself that kind of like nice that people, you know, are all aware of the fact that that's what people do. Well, not necessarily everybody kind of is aware of that, but I think it's becoming a lot more apparent that it's, you know, everyone just puts the best things that they're doing on, but it's still so hard to not compare yourself to people. Like, even though you kind of have that in the back of your head, it's still so hard because it's, oh, but that's the best of the best that they're putting on, but that's an amazing thing. Like, oh, I'm not doing that or whatever. Like, I think it's hard to not compare yourself. Do you ever find yourself comparing yourself to other musicians and the followers that they have and things like that?
Literally all the time.
Really?
Like, it's... And again, it's the same thing. It's like... Instagram has basically, like, put out a platform where they've gone, go and perform for people. Go and, like, put out the best version of yourself. Create this character that you want to show to other people.
Yeah.
And so it's the same with music. It's like, here's this guitarist with 30,000 followers who's put up this amazing cover of a song, and you see that and you think, oh my god, he's just bashed that out in a minute, that's so good, I would never be able to do that. But what you obviously don't see is that two weeks he spent writing it,
right? Okay.
And then the 30 times that he's got it wrong and then done it again. But
right, okay, that's interesting then. So it's almost like, I suppose for you, it's not seeing somebody on a, you know, on a boat somewhere. I don't know why that would be an exciting thing.
I don't know where you go with this, I'm going to be honest. I'm excited to hear the end though.
But like, some people kind of look at the lifestyle and be like, that is the lifestyle I want. Whereas for you, it's almost like you're looking at somebody's skill and being like, that's what like I'm comparing myself to, rather than it almost being like a appearance lifestyle side of it. It's a skill.
One of my biggest sort of issues is, so I'm not naturally musically gifted.
Debatable. I've heard you sing and play guitar many times. That's gifted.
No, I'm good. Don't get me wrong. But I wasn't a natural at guitar when I picked it up. I wasn't really good at it as soon as I did it.
Right. Okay. You've had to work like for it.
I've played for 17 years to get to where I am now.
Yeah.
And that's practice. That's going to college and uni and lessons and then taking up other instruments and stuff. So I've worked hard over a long period of time to get to where I am. And obviously, the more you practice, the better you get, and then you pick other things up quickly and quickly. But I can still remember what it was like to be really bad at guitar.
Right, okay.
So one of my big issues in terms of my own career is the sort of worry that I'm not good enough.
Right, okay.
I get that quite a lot, which is only sort of exacerbated by these people on Instagram who like are amazing.
How do you kind of deal with, because I suppose that kind of feeling of that you're not good enough, that's you putting that pressure on yourself, but like, how do you almost deal with like overcoming that thought? Like, how do you deal with getting by that? Because I can imagine that kind of thought is so easily turned into beating yourself up every day, getting in a really low place. How do you kind of come across that, almost get past that thought?
Sometimes I don't.
Okay.
is one of the things. Sometimes I just feel like I'm not very good at what I'm doing, and then I'll feel grim for a couple of days.
Yeah.
And then I'll sort of snap out of it and be like, what are you on about?
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? You've got a degree, you've got a career in music, you're clearly good enough.
Yeah.
But I think it's just about focusing on the good stuff that you do.
Yeah.
Which sounds so simple. But like, sort of, if ever I feel like that, I'll look back at an old video of me playing something and be like, oh, that's actually really good. Or like, I'll go and play something like that's quite hard to play, or like quite fun to play, or quite impressive, and be like, oh, that's fine as well.
Yeah.
You know, so it's more about,
you almost like have to prove to yourself, do something that proves to yourself, no, I am good. Okay. That's interesting then, because I suppose that's like a form of therapy, isn't it? That you recognise I'm in a bit of a shit place at the moment, and then, so what am I going to do it? That's like your way of being able to do that.
Yeah.
I think it's so hard to, like I think, like everybody has the down days, but I think depending on kind of like what your down day entails depends on like how down that day is. Does that make sense? It's almost like you can have a really like shit day and feel bad about something that's like, you know, oh, this has happened and I'm really down about it or whatever, and then get by it. But if it's kind of like a, depends what kind of thought that is, like if it's like very much like, you know, your thoughts are bad about your own self and who you are, it's like so much harder, I can imagine, to like get back out of that, because it's like at the end of the day you can't change who you are, you're just like,
yeah,
that's you.
Yeah, I mean, I think I get it less now. I mean, really a lot of that was sort of tied to my anxiety, really.
Right, okay.
So I sort of, a couple of years ago, I don't like the word diagnosed, but, you know, it came to light that I had symptoms of anxiety and depression.
Yeah.
And that was very much one of the big factors in that. So it was these sort of intrusive thoughts that would just pop into your head for literally no reason.
Yeah.
The kind of thoughts that other people might just go, well, that's ridiculous.
Yeah.
I'm not thinking that again. But for me, it would fester and it would stay. And I'd just like, that's all I'd think about.
Right, okay, so you'd get hung up on that bad thought. Like, did you speak to somebody and they like tell you this is what you should do when you get them thoughts? Like, what kind of was a pro, as soon as, when you kind of was like told, okay, these, you're showing like that you've got anxiety, you've got depression, like these thoughts are coming into your head, and that's why, like, you know, they're letting you're letting them kind of grow rather than like pushing past them. Like, what kind of was, like, for example,
how did I combat that, basically?
Yeah, like, I'm in my head, I'm thinking, like, if I used to like suffer with panic attacks, and as soon as I kind of like went to speak to somebody about it, they taught me almost like, when you get this, when it happens, this is what you do to kind of like get past that, and like, you know, calm yourself down and all that stuff. Like, what was the kind of like steps you had to go through, and I can imagine you still have to go through nowadays, if these things happen, what were like the steps you kind of take?
I think what's important is that people understand sort of the process that happens when you go and speak to someone about it. I think that's, there's a sort of misconception that it's like therapy is this sort of you and a 50-year-old man sat across from each other in a room talking about your feelings for 45 minutes and then you're paying £200. But it's far less sort of clinical than that. So I went to see my regular doctor and told him, because a lot of my anxiety was centered around dying and like thoughts of death.
Right,
like, I'd have these massive like week-long panic attacks about it, and then that just sort of filtered through into, you know, everyday life. So I went to see my doctor and told him that this was happening, and he said, well, look, we can put you on beta blockers, which will be fine, but then you will be taking these pills for, you know, for as long
so
as
is beta blockers, are they
it's, yeah, it's, I think, I don't know exactly what they are, but I think it's like a pill that you take and it sort of calms you down and sort of regulates your anxiety, basically.
Right, okay.
So he's like, yeah, you can take that, but then you'll just be on them or you can go and see a CBT, cognitive behavioural therapist.
Yeah.
So I thought, well, let's just do that. I'll go and see them and see what happens. So it was I went book an appointment, and literally it was a questionnaire. I filled a questionnaire in, and it was a page long when I got there to the CBT. And there were about 10 or 12 questions on it. And it was like, have you ever thought about harming yourself? Have you ever had thoughts of killing yourself? Do you, I don't know, do you get anxious a lot of the time? Do you have particular worries? Stuff like that. You know? And you fill it out. And at the end, you come back with a score. And they say to you, yeah, you've got symptoms of anxiety and depression.
Right, really. Okay.
So did that, and they were like, I mean, they say anxiety and depression, they sort of go like hand in hand, the two. Jesus.
I know. Motorbike going past.
I've been that motorbike for sure before. So they're two sort of go hand in hand. Like, it's unlike, you're unlike to have symptoms of one without symptoms of the other.
Right, okay, yeah.
And then she recommended this 10-week course. So it was like, I did it on Mondays, and I'd go in on a Monday morning, and I'd have like a 2-minute chat at the start, fill in another questionnaire, the exact same one.
Okay, so it was like a repeated question every time.
And it was like, so how have you felt about this week? How have you felt about that this week?
Okay.
And all that stuff. And then it'd be 45 minutes, and it's like this online course. So you log onto this computer, and then you go through this course, and it's basically like 5 different case studies. So I think there's a guy who was a teacher who basically thought he wasn't good enough at his job.
Yeah.
There was someone who just lost their job, I think, and wasn't sure how they were going to cope. Another woman who'd just been in a car crash and was trying to deal with that. And it basically goes through and explains what's going on with them, like what their issues are. It explains a little bit about actual anxiety and actual depression and what they are.
Yeah.
And then after that's about 4 weeks is sort of going through all that and understanding what's happening. And then after that, it teaches you these techniques to deal with that. So it's not about changing the thoughts that you have, because you're not going to be able to do that.
Yeah.
It's about changing the way you react to the thoughts that come into your head.
Yeah.
So it's like, If I have a thought that's like, I don't know, I see a video on Instagram, for example, and it's like, this guy is amazing at guitar, and I think, oh, you know, I'm not as good as him, I'll never be as good as him.
Yeah.
It's being able to like think, right, that's ridiculous. You don't need to think that. And here's the techniques to help you deal with that thought.
Yeah.
If that makes sense.
Yeah, no, definitely.
So like when something like that happens, there's like 3 or 4 different things I know to do.
Yeah.
To sort of bring myself down, if that makes sense.
To almost like not let it like almost affect you in a way that it could have done if you hadn't have kind of like done these steps.
Mm-hmm.
So like that's really interesting to know that, you know, they very much tell you like this is what anxiety is, like this is what depression is. Like it's like not just okay, here we're gonna deal with these thoughts and deal with that. It's very much like this is, because I don't think a lot of people know what anxiety or what depression actually really are. Like nobody really, and I think it's because like first of all, you don't ever, you know, have a chat about your anxiety at the pub. You just don't do that, which is unfortunate, because it's like if you're feeling anxious in a situation, I can imagine that all you need to do initially is like recognize like, okay, I'm very anxious right now, and like kind of the first steps I can imagine is being aware yourself, and then almost I don't know is it helpful if you then kind of talk to somebody and say like, oh, I'm quite a bit anxious right now, or like if you're anxious on a night out or at the pub or whatever, like how do you deal with that? Are you kind of in a position where you can be like, okay, I'm feeling a bit anxious right now, I need to calm down, or do you just have to do it in your head and be like,
now I can sort of just do it in my head.
Right, okay.
At the time it was harder. I got told to, I didn't get told to, I got advised to download this app, and it's called Fear Tools. It's really good. And it basically, every time you have an anxious thought or like what they call a thinking error. So a thinking error is like, there's loads of different kinds, like, and it's basically the sort of thoughts that make you feel anxious or sad or
okay.
nervous or whatever.
Yeah.
And you basically, I tell you what, I can't really remember, so I'm actually going to have a look if that's all right.
No, of course.
It's not entirely professional.
No, it's interesting as well to kind of know that. And I think it's important to have certain apps on your phone, and like I know a lot of people kind of are able to deal with things like by writing things down, mm-hmm. or like, you know, meditation or like things like that. But I think we're on our phones so often now, mm-hmm. it's so important to kind of like have these like wellbeing apps, mm-hmm. to like help you.
Absolutely. And that what's good about that is when it's on your phone is like, if it happens when you're out, like you could just be sending a message for all anyone else knows.
Okay.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
If you feel like a bit weird about doing it, like they don't know what you're doing on your phone, do they?
Right, okay, that's really interesting, yeah. So it's almost like you can do it wherever you are.
Yeah, so this Fear Tools is like you write down sort of what is making you feel anxious.
Just smacked the microphone.
Nice. You write down what it is that's making you feel like anxious or nervous or sad or whatever. You write down, you sort of, on a scale of 1 to 10, how anxious you feel about it.
Right, okay.
And then what kind of emotions you've got. Then you write down a little bit more about the actual situation that surrounds it. And then what your actual thoughts are, what, you know, the actual getting to the root of what is making you anxious about it. So like I'll tell you what, I'll give you an example of one that I've written down, shall I?
That's amazing, because that is, you're able to, it's like that is a form of therapy, isn't it, that you go through these steps. It's like, mm-hmm. you know, coaching and therapy, like it's, and you're able to do that for yourself. I think that's so lovely that you know now that if you're feeling a certain way, like you can mm-hmm. do that, and it helps you.
Yeah. Oh, it's class. And basically everything on this is related to what I was taught in those 10 sessions.
Right, okay.
So it's exactly the same. So like the last one I wrote down, and it's quite good that I've not actually had to write one down for about June last year it was.
Right, okay.
And I wanted a week off from work, and I thought I'd left it too late, basically, to get the week off.
Right, okay.
Because I had something else to do, can't remember what. And so I've put my initial anxiety levels 5, emotions anxious. The situation was, oh, there you go, I wanted a week off so I could play in a show. I'd sorted the cover myself, but I hadn't confirmed with work that I could have it off, right, basically. Okay. Then you write down unhelpful thoughts. So my unhelpful thoughts were, I might let down the people who are in the show if I can't play for them. My boss might be pissed off at me for doing it, and I'd had to move quite a lot of lessons around because I was teaching at the time already, and I thought the parents might be getting a bit annoyed that the lessons sort of changing here and there quite a lot.
Okay.
And then you write down what they call your cognitive distortions, which is your thinking errors, basically. So what's wrong with those thoughts that you're having?
Yeah.
So it's like jumping to conclusions is one of them. So like saying, oh well surely those parents are going to be angry at me.
Yeah,
of course they are, why would they not be?
Yeah,
or like, of course my boss is going to be pissed off, like, when there's absolutely no reason to think that.
Yeah,
do you know what I mean? And then you sort of challenge those thoughts and be like, well, maybe this will happen instead, or maybe that will happen instead.
Okay.
Or maybe something else will happen.
Yeah.
And then you sort of just write down how you feel about it after.
Like, right, you, okay, that's amazing. So I mean, I suppose it, being able to, like, say, for example, in that situation, the parents are going to feel annoyed, and then being able to, like, actually sit and recognise, no, you know what, that's, like you said, jumping to conclusions, that's mm-hmm. not necessarily going to be the outcome.
Yeah.
Even just that simple kind of, like, switch of a mindset and switch mm-hmm. of a thought helps you.
Yeah. I mean, That is not a situation that most people would get like worked up about.
Yeah, because when you were saying that, it was interesting because you mentioned before how these kind of thoughts. I keep flipping
making
that.
A habit of that, aren't you?
But when you mentioned before that, like, some of the thoughts that kind of, like, would come into your head, like, mm-hmm. some people would just so easily, like, dismiss them and be like, why am I thinking mm-hmm. that? Like, don't be so silly.
Mm-hmm.
Like, but that is a prime example of it. Like, that's obviously, like, festered in your head, and, yeah. like, it, you couldn't get that thought mm-hmm. out of your head.
Yeah, and it's not a big thing, that, really, is it? But it was still something that, like, would, you know, cause me to sort of get...
be anxious about
yeah,
it.
Yeah, exactly.
But that's the thing, like, I can understand why it would, because it's like, you know, I've had, like, some things before where I've been, like, asked, like, I'd have a job, and, you know, it might be that I'm doing a logo design or something, and... you know what, like, life's like, you know, a week, like, turns into a month all of a sudden. Mm-hmm. And it's like, I've been in situations before where I've, like, almost genuinely not had the time to do a piece of work.
Mm.
And then got a bit anxious about the fact that I've not done it. And I'd almost push it to the back mm-hmm. of my head and, like, not think about it at all, mm-hmm. and it just get worse and worse and worse, and then I'd have to so go to the person and be like, oh my god, I'm sorry,
yeah,
and all this, and then they just come back to me and be like, it's fine,
that's
like,
all right,
yeah. we've been busy as well, it doesn't matter, yeah. but to me it's been like a massive thing of like, mm-hmm. oh my god, I've not done it, and like they're gonna think I'm just, you know, don't care and all this. So I can so easily see why something like that would just, you know, fester in your mind.
Yeah. And I think as well, like, with that example you gave there, like, that's when it's to do with work, is I always think that's much harder, those sort of thoughts when they're about work.
Yeah,
that's like a lot more sort of panic inducing, because yeah. that's literally your livelihood. And especially, like, if, you know, was that like when you were self-employed,
yeah,
or, yeah, so like, if, like, that's your reputation, that's
exactly,
your livelihood,
yeah.
that's what you do, and so it's a whole lot worse when
yeah.
that sort of anxiety kicks in, really.
I think as well, it's like, the if you just address certain situations,
mm.
like, for example, with that app, it almost allows you to have a conversation with yourself.
Mm.
I think any kind of situation that's making you feel like anxious or, you know, depressed, if you have a conversation, like, what's the good old saying of, like, a problem shared is a problem
halved.
Like, as soon as you have that conversation, it does, it's almost like a weight lifted off your shoulders, isn't
yeah.
it? And, like, to be able to have that conversation with yourself, I can imagine, is the same effect.
Because it's like, they call it like a feedback loop, basically.
Okay.
So it's like, just you'll think this thought, and then that will lead you to think this thought, which will make you feel like this, which will make you think that thought again, and it sort of goes round and round in a circle and gets worse and worse.
Okay.
So... I can't remember what my point was, but feedback loop, there you go.
Shout out to the feedback
yeah,
loop.
Yeah, nice one.
But that's interesting though, isn't it? Because it's like, and that's like almost when a thought becomes a problem, when you
yeah.
repeatedly think it, and the more you think about something, yeah. The worse it becomes in mm-hmm. your head, the more of a problem it is, and the more it's kind of like turns into this massive thing, when actually mm-hmm. if you strip it back, for example, what that app does, you strip it back mm-hmm. and it's why are you feeling like
yeah.
this, what is the reason you're feeling like this, and then you're
exactly.
kind of like, oh
yeah,
maybe it doesn't matter as much as it does, and I can okay
sorry because like you speaking to someone about, like, if I spoke to someone about everything I used to get anxious about, I'd never be off the phone with them. Do you know
okay.
what I mean? Because
yeah.
it'd be like, got anxious about work again. Don't be. Okay, thanks. Got anxious about not going outside all day. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And then you start to feel like a burden onto other people.
Yeah.
And then that makes you anxious.
Yeah.
And then it's like, oh my God.
Yeah.
Where does it stop? So being able to do that yourself and not have to rely on other people.
Yeah.
It's like a massive bonus, really.
Because that's interesting. You've just said, like, feeling a burden on people.
Mm.
Because it's like, I think that's the thing, isn't it? You, because it's not like a topic that you talk about or something that, like, a lot of people can be open about, it is almost seen as, like, this really, like, negative, kind of, like, depressing thing. But I think it's... as soon as people start having those conversations about, like, anxiety, about depression, about these, about mental health, the more it's, you realise everybody's had a form of it. Like, it might be, you know, some people suffer it a lot more than
mm-hmm.
others, which that's just life, and that's how you as a person, your process of your thoughts and like how you deal with things. But I think it's kind of, it's important for people to know that everybody has these feelings, mm-hmm. everybody has these thoughts, and you know, but it's true, isn't it? Like, everybody's like, oh, you don't, like, don't surround yourself with negative people, otherwise the energy will turn negative in this. But it's like, it should be, and I completely understand what you mean. Like, you don't ever want to be like, you know, oh, I'm feeling like this, I'm feeling like that, blah, blah, blah. But you've got a good group of guy mates, haven't you? Like, have you like been able to kind of confide in them about certain times when you've felt anxious and stuff, or have you kind of like spoke to them about your mental health at all?
I'm quite lucky in that my group of mates is sort of very switched on about that kind of thing, so I would always feel confident that I could speak to them if something big came up.
Right, okay.
Definitely. I would never speak to them about the little things that were making me anxious. But that's, I wouldn't speak to anyone about that. And that's not for any sort of...
Is that because you now know how to deal with them things?
I just don't feel like there'd be any point.
Okay.
Like, I can get through that myself. I know how to do that. I know.
It's almost like when, if there was a situation where you were struggling to get through it yourself, that's when you'd be like, right, you know, I need to talk to somebody about it.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly.
That's nice that you've got a group of mates that you feel like you'd be able to do that, and that they'd be there. I think some people, I mean, they probably have it. They probably could speak to the mates, but a lot of people feel like, I can imagine that they feel like they can't do that.
Mm. Yeah, definitely. I would imagine so. I mean, I think as well, like, speaking to your mates or speaking to your family or speaking to your partner or whatever, that you sort of now getting into the thing where, like, okay, it's do I have anxiety, do I have depression, or do I just feel a little bit nervous about something that's coming up? Do you know what I mean? Like, is my emotion at the minute, is that justified in what's going on in my life at the minute, or is it because, you know, I've got an actual mental health issue?
Right, okay.
Whether whichever of those is the case, I think everyone should still be able to understand ways to deal with that.
Yeah.
You know, you can be anxious without having anxiety. You can be sad without having depression.
Yeah, okay.
And that's fine.
True. Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
You should still, I think you have like a right to know how to deal with that. But I think, it's, you're then getting into a whole, like, how do we diagnose it, and what have you got? And then there's a lot of blurred lines between a lot of different mental health problems.
Like, the spectrum, like, is like completely different, because it's almost like unique to each person what you actually are suffering with.
A lot of my anxiety was, I have to actually say this, I haven't in any way been diagnosed with OCD.
Okay.
But a lot of my anxieties sort of have similar things in common to obsessive compulsive disorder.
Okay.
So,
in what sense?
So, like, the obsession, like, the whole, when I used to get really anxious about death, dying, the sort of obsession over that was sort of similar. Like, there've been people with OCD who have had pretty much the exact same experience, basically. So it's like obsessing over this one thing, and like little twitches and other things, you know. But I've not got OCD.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's in common with OCD, so everything just sort of blends together, which is why it's so difficult, I think, to really...
You can't just be like, oh, you feel like this, therefore you've got that, so this is how you need to deal with it. Yeah, it's like...
Precisely.
And I think that's why it is, like... I think that's why so many people kind of don't go and get help, because it's almost like, you know, I can imagine so many people who feel a certain way and like are suffering with mental health problems, but they probably are a bit unaware of like the fact that you know, you might have a mental health problem. So they kind of just think, oh, this is just me, this is how I think, this is my life kind of thing.
Yeah.
And they don't actively then go and get help, because maybe it is because you don't know what the end result is going to be, what the help actually is.
Exactly.
What prompted you to go and actively go and speak to somebody and get help? Was it kind of like you just got to a point where you were very low, or what was the reason for you to be like, right, I need to go and speak to somebody now? And
it wasn't even really me that pointed out, it was my girlfriend pointed it out.
Okay.
And I'd basically had sort of one of these panic attacks, like, or what, anxiety attacks, whatever they are, a couple of weeks before, and she'd been speaking to someone about it, and they knew a little bit about it and said, oh, maybe he's got anxiety, you know, maybe that's a problem, maybe you should go and speak to someone. So she said to me, like, you know, why don't you go and speak to someone, because it's not really normal. Mm-hmm. So I sort of like mulled it over for a week, so I was like, what are you on about, I need to go and speak to anyone.
So you didn't, before your girlfriend saying that to you, did you not think that you had anything?
No way.
Really?
Yeah, no.
Oh,
I didn't.
My God.
I genuinely just didn't. My mum used to call me a worrier, is what she used to say.
Okay.
So I always like worried about stuff, but I used to just be like, oh, it's just what I do, you know what I mean? And that's not, I'm not blaming my mum for that,
course,
you know what
but
I mean?
But that's kind of like what I was saying before. It's like, some people, you like, you know, well, for example, you, then it's like, you just think that
that's it.
Yeah. That's just how I think. That's just who I am.
Yeah.
That's really interesting then. So I guess that's kind of like that was kind of like your like, not a breakthrough moment, but that kind of probably changed your life then.
Yeah, absolutely.
Having that person say to you, you know, you need, maybe go and just chat to somebody, that's probably that's changed your life.
Because like I say, the thought hadn't even crossed my mind at all. Ever in the 23, 22 years, I just never thought about it. I didn't even know it was a thing.
That's really interesting, you know, that's really interesting. I just kind of like, I don't know if presumed is the wrong word, but I just kind of presumed that it was a waiting game for when, okay, I'm now at this down, very low point in my life. I need to actively go and speak to somebody, because like, you know, you kind of think that it's just like a bit of a,
like, it gets gradually worse, and then to a point where it's like, oh my God,
I can't deal with this anymore.
Yeah. No.
Oh my gosh.
I didn't even know. Didn't, never crossed my mind.
Why do you think that is though? Why, like, is it because you never, you know, is it because you'd never spoke to people? Like, had you ever said to somebody, these are the thoughts I'm having, or like, these are the kind of feelings that I'm feeling? Had you just dealt with it all yourself, or had you kind of, I'm almost like interested to know how come you thought that those thoughts you were having were just, are not like,
just
you
normal.
Know, just everyday kind of thoughts?
That's a good question. I think if I ever sort of had those sort of weeks where I was having anxiety attacks a lot, I don't know if anxiety attack is the right word, but that's what I'm going to use.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah. It makes
that's
sense,
what it's called so. Now. You know, about dying, which, I mean, I think from since I was about 7.
Right,
the first time I remember that happening. I'd obviously tell my mum and dad, because I'd be crying a lot, basically.
So it was from as young as 7 years old then, right, okay.
But I mean, it probably happened once every 2, 3, 4 months, something like that.
That's still quite regular,
it's quite
though,
a
isn't
lot,
it?
Yeah. But sometimes it'd be worse than others. Sometimes it'd be like, oh my God, what? Oh no, I'm all right again.
Okay.
And then sometimes it'd be my weeks are right off.
Right.
You know. So yeah, I'd spoken to people about, well, I say people, my mum and dad.
Yeah.
They knew about it, but I'd never really spoken to anyone else about it.
Yeah.
And I just sort of assumed that was it. But I'd never thought of myself as an anxious person in general.
Yeah.
Until I started writing down everything that made me anxious through the week.
Okay.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So
That's honestly when you realised it was like, this is actually happening quite often that I feel this way.
Yeah. I can't even say that I thought that's just how I was, because that the actual thought of me getting anxious about stuff had in 22 years didn't even cross my mind at all.
Right, okay.
That was it. That's just what happened, and that was fine. I mean, obviously it wasn't fine.
Yeah, but
you know what I mean? That was just it.
It wasn't that you even had that thought of, oh, this is just me. It was because you didn't even get to the stage of thinking that. It was just like, that was just your life kind of thing. That's so interesting. And like, I'm almost like kind of like thinking of my own experience of life and things. And when I was younger, and even when I was in like bloody primary school, I used to come home to my mum and dad sometimes in an exam, and I'd be like, this is gonna sound crazy, but you know what, fuck it, we're going all in on a being a true form. I used to come home from some exams and they'd be like, oh, how did you do? And I'd be like, oh yeah, fine, the voices in my head helped me out. And they'd, what? I know, and they, but like, it was, I basically, when I had did an exam, it would be my own self telling me to calm down and focus. That I, when I was a kid, I thought that, it was voices.
Voices in your head.
But because I hadn't realised that it was my own thoughts. So then basically, that's every time I did an exam, these voices, my own thoughts, would come back to me. And then when I was in high school, it got worse. I kind of like realised it was my own head, my own thoughts, kind of, when I was in high school. But it was like, whenever I was in that quiet exam situation, it would happen, and that's when I started having a panic attacks, because it was almost like this process of knowing that it was my own thoughts, but at the same time still hearing these voices in my head when I was doing exams. And like,
it's mad.
So every time I had an exam, I'd then have a panic attack, because I'd get myself freaked out.
Right.
So, but because it was a physical attack, it was like, I went and got help when I was younger, because it was like, I went and saw a therapist. I must have been like maybe like 15 or something, and she basically, it was like I was saying before, like, she guided me through, okay, when you're having a panic attack, this is what happens, blah blah blah. And it was almost like, for me, I'd sometimes, just before I had one, my whole body would freeze, because I'd go into this like panic mode and I'd just freeze and then have a bit of like a panic attack. And so it was all kind of like, I got taught the process of like, this is how you deal with it. But like, my point kind of is that because mine was like a physical attack and you know, this is a panic attack, that's why I went and got help when I was younger. And I suppose, like, for you, because it's not like a physical thing that you've physically happened into your body, that's maybe like why, you know, mine was that it was other people were aware that that was happening, but for you it was kind of like, because you didn't know, okay, this is like, you know, an anxiety attack. Like, and that's the scary thing about mental health, because it's in your head and it's not a physical thing you can see. It's like, how do you know that you should go and get help or go and see somebody about that if it's not a physical thing?
Did you ever, like, was there ever any explanation as to, like, was there a grander reason for these panic attacks that you would have, other than you just get yourself totally worked up? Do you know what I mean? Or was that ever explained? Or was it basically just, here's how to deal with the panic attacks? Can you remember?
I think it was basically because I'd get myself worked up. I think that was kind of what it is. I think it's because, like, it was when I concentrated too hard in a quiet situation, which, like... And I think because I was young and I kind of went and, like, saw somebody about it, like, an early kind of stage, it was, like, almost just, like, you know, dealt with there and then. And then I basically, any exam I had after that, I'd go in my own room and I'd have, like, one-to-one person to help me. So it kind of, like, that automatically, like, calm me down. And then when I went to uni, I made sure to pick a course that didn't have any exams. I was like,
fair enough.
And college as well, like,
yeah.
Well, when I went to college, I didn't actually tell them that I needed my own room because I was embarrassed. So right. I just like only yeah. had one exam in dance, and it was like a written dance exam. And I just remember sat there like trying to like sing to myself or like, you know, just like...
Just to distract yourself.
I probably like... failed that exam. But I was like embarrassed about the fact that I had to go in my own room.
Yeah.
So I just didn't tell them. But I mean, yeah. I think I'm almost lucky in a sense that because it was a physical thing that was happening, I went and got help rather than, you know, for example, for you, you've had to deal with that for like 22, 23 years of your life
yeah.
without having, you know, the help that you needed.
Yeah. Like, I think what gets me is that, I mean, like my case is by no means like the worst sort of case of anxiety or depression that anyone can have. Yeah. Do you know what I mean? There's people who have it far worse than me. I just think if I didn't know until I was 22, does that mean all these other people who have it also don't like feel the same way and realize and don't yeah. know, and they've got it far worse than me? And it's like,
I know you're saying it far worse than you, but I feel like it. That's not, that doesn't
yeah
even,
no I, that, yeah.
like for you yourself like yeah. that is like the worst it can be because it's any kind of, you know,
any kind of problem,
yeah,
problem,
it's almost it, yeah. like yeah, the worst it could be is what you let it get to. I don't know.
I feel
like
I
you're giving
say.
Yourself a hard yeah, time yeah. there, like yeah. other people got it worse than me, no, and yeah. it's like, no, you like that's yeah. still like it's not still a nice thing to yeah. have to live with.
Very true.
But and also I know what you mean, it's almost like, you know, it's people that are 45 years old have never recognised, oh, I might have anxiety, yeah. I might have depression.
Absolutely.
I'm going to ask one more question.
Okay.
Which is the main question of the day.
Okay.
Drum roll, please. It's basically, what is your mantra? What is your...
My mantra?
I bigged it up there, didn't I?
Yeah, I know.
What's like one
shy
thing...
question? No, I'm joking.
What's like the one thing that you... It might not necessarily be like your mantra to like live by every day, but like what's something that you say to yourself to uplift you or when you're feeling down or just general life?
That's another good question, that.
See, you laughed at first.
I know, I'm struggling. Maybe you're just going to have to cut the 7 minutes while I think about an answer to it. I think, try and focus on what I'm good at.
Okay.
I think it's really easy to, especially now with what we were talking about with Instagram and everything.
Yeah.
And, you know, to focus on what your shortcomings are and what you can be better at.
Yeah.
But, and to a point, that's useful because you want to identify what you're maybe not good at and then get better at that.
Yeah.
But, you know, everyone has value. Everyone has stuff that they're good at. Everyone has stuff that they're better at than anyone else.
Yeah.
And, you know, focus on that.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Like, don't be afraid to tell yourself that you're good at something. I think Britain as a place, we're very afraid to be like, yeah, I'm fucking class at that, mate. I'm absolutely sick.
You so, heard me on guitar, mate. Yeah. Fucking sick.
Did you see me last weekend? I killed it. I was fucking class.
Needs to be more like that, though. I love that, though, because it's,
you know,
like, yeah.
Just, you are good at something and just find what it is and there yeah. you go.
I love that. Focus on the positive in life.
Lovely. There you go.
Well, that has been an absolute pleasure, and it's nice to talk about this and just be open about it and like
absolutely.
Talk about it in a positive way. And like,
definitely.
For example, with you, it's something that you might have to go back, you know, use it, that app, or like you're going to have it for the rest of your life almost, not as much as you used to get it,
yeah,
or
but
something.
Still,
but
it's still going to be there.
Yeah, it's always going to be there, and it's just nice to be able to talk about it, and hopefully if there's somebody in a situation where they can realise, oh, okay, I might need to go
I
and
feel
talk
like that
to somebody.
As well, then
yeah,
hopefully.
Well, it's been an absolute pleasure.
Thanks very much for having me.
That's
all
right.
It's been great.
Thanks for joining the Fast Podcast.
Woo!
Getting the Fast Podcast in there. Goodbye, over and out.
Thanks.